This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
And we are back in Auburn, Alabama. A place our next guest has been a few times hosting College Game Day. He also hosts a Heisman, and we'll talk to him about that after what RG told us a minute ago in relation to his game with Jaden Daniel. I'm talking about Chris Fowler, who this week calls a pretty important game. Florida has entered this game with far better records, but Chris, it's pretty important for the other side, as it often is. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, hey, Paul. Greetings from one of the many generic hotel rooms where I spent my life here, and this one happens to be in Gainesville. Yeah, I mean, obviously the stakes are super high for Florida State. You need to win the game. You need to show that there is life after Jordan Travis with the offense, and Tate Rodemaker needs to play like a guy who can be part of a playoff-type team. For Florida, if you believe what they say, there's a lot in it for them, too. There's all the Florida players who want to spoil the Seminoles and settle a personal score, and apparently there's enough guys, according to Billy Napier, who want to practice 15 more times this season and go to a bowl game. The Swamp still matters, still counts for something. I called the Tennessee game here. It mattered in that game. And they're counting on that kind of energy. But I'm curious to see how they'll respond if things don't go well early. They've shown a lot of fight, I think, despite a brutal record and a four-game skid and some very tough-to-take losses. They're saying the right things. So we'll see tomorrow night.
Yeah, Chris, I know you know this, but it just sounded strange to hear you so many times out in front of the Swamp for epic games with Spurrier or or Tebow or Urban, and to hear you say that, you know, they want 15 more practices. I realize we're in a different world right now, but that was fascinating to hear.
Well, that's what you get when you go to a bowl game. So, listen, you saw last night Mississippi State in the Egg Bowl desperately, it looked like, wanting to get an in-state rival and nick up their season, but also get to a bowl. And I've also covered games in the situation, Paul, where it's very obvious that the team would rather just say, you know what, we're good. We're good. We'll see it in winter conditioning and come back next year. We don't know if we want to stick around for 15 practices and a relatively minor bowl game. So, again, I'm not inside the heart of the Florida players, but I do believe what I hear from the team leaders. But the proof is when they roll out there tomorrow night.
And in terms of the battle of the backups, certainly Rodemaker on the FSU side, pretty well traveled. He's been around a while. How does that match up in terms of your deep dive? And I realize coaches are still, you're still to talk to some coaches, but that's an important part of this game.
Yeah, it's so disappointing to see, you know, Jordan Travis with that grisly injury and Graham Mertz, you know, go out like a warrior, a head first drive into two Missouri linebackers and break his clavicle that way. I mean, it should have been those two guys. They put in the work, they put in the time. They've had great seasons, really, in their respective offenses. It should have been those two guys battling here. As it is, the next man up mentality does make it a wrinkle, but it also kind of levels the playing field. At least one side's not playing with the starter. The other side has to throw in an emergency replacement. They're both in that situation. For Florida State and Rodemaker, you get a far less dynamic athlete, not a dual threat guy, but a pocket passer. For the Gators, it's the opposite. Max Brown comes in as a dual threat guy, replacing a pocket passer in Graham Mertz. Each guy is not going to be able to operate the offense as efficiently as the starter. Each coach will have to pull some things back and manage what his guy can do. I will say the difference is that Rodemaker's been in the FSU program for a few years. He has a comeback win on the road at Louisville last year, which was a really strong performance in an emergency situation. Max Brown has played really well against Missouri, put them in a position to win. They don't give up an amazing 4th-and-17 conversion by Missouri to kick the winning field goal, but he has a very thin resume, a couple of snaps here and there, mop-up duty. So he doesn't have nearly the equity built up that Rodemaker does. But I'll say this, Brown has some swagger. We had a meeting with him this afternoon here in Gainesville. He's been waiting. He's been working. His teammates like him. We'll see what he can do.
Chris, let me get to the Heisman for just a second. I realize you're the host of the show, and it's a critically important role. So I'm not going to drag you down to the level of people like me to try to start handicapping it. But you've seen this before. We talked to Robert a minute ago. Tebow with losses, multiple losses. Lamar Jackson. How do you frame this conversation, knowing that tomorrow is the last time we'll see Jaden Daniels before the vote?
Man, it's been amazing to watch him. I go back to Arizona State with him. I saw him pull out a game down there in Tempe with some deep balls, and to see how far he's come, what he's put into things, it's incredible. I think he's the most electric player. How do you even come up with a Heisman reel for him? How do you boil it down to 30 seconds? Because I write these Heisman finalist pieces, right? I have to figure out what makes each guy distinct, what makes each guy special as a player, what adjectives apply to him, what 4 or 5 plays can we pick from their season to back up those words. How do you do it with him? I mean, every game is like a highlight reel. We've had the pleasure to see him a few times. It's a shame he was knocked out of the Alabama game with what I consider to be an unclean hit, a shot right here. If not meant to knock him out of the game, it wasn't far from that. I'll just say that. And it did get him out of the game, and who knows? I mean, Alabama pulled away and won, but I hated to see his evening end that way. I don't hold an individual player as accountable for a team loss, maybe as some other people might. RG3, I watched this segment. I heard what he said. I agree with a lot of what he said, including his Heisman year, Caleb last year, Tebow, others. You look at the individual performance. What role did they play in those losses? If they threw 3 or 4 picks and he cost your team the game, okay, that's a big mark against you. That works against what you've achieved in the wins. For me, that was not the case with LSU's losses and Daniels. So I've seen him. I've seen Penix. I've seen Nix. It's a quarterback award. We know that. They affect the game more than anything, and I think it's going to be interesting to see who responds in these pressure games. Jaden doesn't have as big a stage. I'll be peeking in there tomorrow. I'll be flipping around from Ohio State, Michigan, to see what's going on in his last game at LSU, just because he's that kind of player. You want to see what he's doing. But obviously, Nix and Penix could be on a collision course in Vegas a week from tonight and play for a conference championship. That would be their closing statement for their candidacy, too. So it's a fun race.
Let me get to this sounds crazy because I've seen you get down here quite a few times, but let me get to the big game of tomorrow, as I say that from the Iron Bowl, the one up in Ann Arbor. And there's been some really amazing matchups, and fans can almost recite them, let alone people like you who've been part of them. But this game tomorrow, how do you frame it? And because it just seems nastiness is been taken to a different level here with the Harbaugh dilemma.
Yeah, that adds another layer to it. But the layers have been building up for about 40 years in that rivalry, and especially the last couple of years, the way Michigan has dramatically turned the table. Because remember, Michigan had a massive Ohio State problem. They thought when Urban Meyer left, we got Ryan Day. Boom. He steps in there and destroys them. Years ago, then they have turned it around and absolutely physically manhandled Ohio State. 28 points after halftime each of the last 2 years. Think about that. The Ohio State team really physically manhandled and beaten into a submission by Michigan. And the fact that it could be 3 in a row, they could lose 3 in a row to Michigan. That's why Ryan Day has that. And I saw Urban, same thing with Urban. Harbaugh has it, that 1,000-yard stare. I miss being around those teams for this game because there's so much pressure involved on the coaching staffs, and then it goes right down to the players. And who's going to respond? Does Michigan go in there, Paul, and say, you know what? You haven't proven you can stop our power running game. So we might just call 10 runs in a row to see what you do in the first half. There, the passing game for Michigan has dropped off. So J.J. McCarthy, if he has to step back and make these plays, he's capable. They've got good receivers, but he hasn't been as sharp the last few games. And for Ohio State to go into that setting, you saw how bothered Ryan Day got when people questioned the toughness of Ohio State, Lou Holtz and others. Well, it comes from this game. That those questions come from the last couple of years, so you know that'll be top of mind for Ohio State to match the physicality. I can't wait for it. I love the game. I grew up in the Midwest. Tomorrow's a special chapter.
And finally, Chris, just the debate. You're part of probably the team that has drawn the most attention in the Tuesday night selection show aftermath conversation. I realize you're in an interesting spot here being on the call for that game, but talk a little bit about the big picture on all the intangibles that we really have never had this late in a college football playoff hunt.
I'm not uncomfortable, Paul. I'm comfortable in any situation. I'm not worried about what game I'm calling, what I say about this team or that team. I just try to speak the truth, and I'm obviously nowhere near that committee, but I'm an interested party. You know, listen, it's going to come down. This is no surprise to people in that part of the world. I'm saying if Alabama wins the Iron Bowl and makes people behind you unhappy, the game in Atlanta is going to determine so much. Because is Georgia going to emerge as an undefeated SEC champ, be joined by the Big Ten champ, and then some combination of a potentially 13-0 Florida State, potentially 13-0 Washington, or 12-1 Oregon? Then you get the Big Ten runner-up, and Texas is the other pieces. Now, if Alabama wins tomorrow and beats Georgia, then you've got a serious complication because you've got the real possibility to be two very deserving SEC teams, and all of a sudden, someone's going to get squeezed out that would otherwise be in, and that someone could have a really, really good resume, and then the furor begins. But That's sort of like, if you want the chaos, that's sort of like the doomsday scenario, right? Alabama's sitting there with one loss at the end of the season. Georgia's got one loss. And Florida State and Washington, and they're undefeated. And the Big Ten game's close. And you get one team taking their first loss that's still looking really good. And Texas has that win over Alabama. So how are you going to weigh that out? That's the chaos scenario. And I'm not opposed to chaos in this sport. It's just a shame we don't have the 12-team bracket this year, right?
Always great. Such an enjoyable conversation on these Friday afternoons with Chris Fowler. Many thanks, Chris. Well, we will be watching tomorrow night. We take a short break here in Auburn. We'll bring back one of the great quarterbacks in Auburn history, Jason Campbell, who played on an undefeated team in 2004. Much more to come. We're live in Auburn.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
How was Coach today?
Welcome back. We're live in Auburn, and what an afternoon it's already been, talking to so many great people like Coach Freeze and Tim. And we now have one of Auburn's better-known players, Jason Campbell, who was here, about 20 years ago, playing on one of the great Auburn teams of all time. He's now part of the broadcast team. He's been that way for a couple years, and I understand you're about to become a dad.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited about that opportunity. You know, I've done a lot of different things from a sports standpoint, but becoming a dad, that may be my proudest moment so far.
Well, now you know why all those vicious hits with the Redskins and others were worth it.
Exactly. Now you got to take care of your wife and prepare to take care of kids now. You know, it's a different platform, but at the same time, it's exciting. You know, I've had a fun career and had to learn a lot of different offenses, but it set me up for where I am now in life.
I remember when you came in, you were from Mississippi, and Tommy Tuberville brought you over here, and you played. It was a bizarre couple of years because expectations were through the roof the year before, didn't deliver, and then when I think people least expected it, you guys threw a perfect season up there.
Yeah, that 2003 season is the reason we had 04. You know, 2003, we hit a lot of obstacles. I believe that season we was preseason ranked like 1, 2, or 3, somewhere in there.
One in a couple of polls.
And we had a lot of talent coming back off that that really good sophomore season we had. You know, we finished 9-4, and we was 3 plays away from being 12-1 that season, losing a couple of games to Florida and Georgia and USC. And then going through that 03 season, going through some trial and error, and you know, we tried to change offensive coordinators. We tried to do it by committee after Coach Petrino left and went to Louisville as a head coach, and it just doesn't work that way. You know, you have to do what you know how to do, and I think from that standpoint on, we learned the bitter part about losing tough games, but it brought us closer together in 04, which gave us an undefeated season.
Yeah, we don't have time to relitigate it, but at the end of the 03 season, there was a coup attempt for your coach. Bob Petrino had been hired essentially to take over. It got out in the media. Coach Tuberville survived. The next year, it was a perfect season. And this is no solace to you, Jason. But think about this to the audience. Perfect season. What, 13-0?
13-0.
Yeah, 13-0. And the Auburn team did not play for the national championship, and because of that, we now have a playoff.
Yeah, that's what we hold our hat to, is that, you know, our 13-0 season was the reason all the conversation started around the playoffs, you know, because people were like, how can an undefeated SEC team, you know, have the toughest schedule of the three that was down to Oklahoma, USC, not get a chance to play for it? And today the conversation started, and of course 5-6 years later they was able to implement the playoff system. But for us, Paul, it all started in this game, the Iron Bowl in 2003. You know, we ended up winning 15 games in a row, and it came down to this week right here. We had the same record, and we end up coming together as a unit and putting our backs to each other and fight for each other, and we was able to rip off 15 games in a row. But it all started with the Iron Bowl.
And Jason, we talk about today, and Coach was up here earlier, and yeah, you know better than me or the average fan what's on that football field. And there's a feeling down here that Coach Freeze was able to cobble a team together, maybe not the ideal skill position players that you need, but you nearly beat Georgia. You won a game or two, maybe you weren't supposed to, and then last week that happens. How does that happen from your standpoint?
Yeah, it's kind of like I was explaining this on my podcast earlier this week, that it's kind of like you're trying to get to know someone. So this football team coming into this season you're kind of dating them a little bit. You know, you're trying to figure out where this is kind of going, and then all of a sudden you win 3, and then you lose 4 in a row, and then all of a sudden, you know, you come back, you win 3 SEC games in a row. You feel like we've turned the corner. And then all of a sudden you come against New Mexico State last week and we just didn't show up. And then it seems like it feels like, okay, we are who we thought we were. We haven't turned the corner yet. But I still feel like this football team has turned the corner. I just think last week we got caught looking ahead. I honestly think that these guys coming from a transfer portal, mixed in with high school kids now, you have to understand the importance of what it's like to play at Auburn. You got to know the tradition. You got to know the history. And I think the more that you can get guys from the Southeastern Conference to come to this school and play football, I think you get that back. You get the accountability back to the part that I feel like from a standpoint, last week was one of those games you like to throw it away, but you also got to learn from it. You know, that's a game that Auburn, you know, we can't lose that type of game at home, especially with the momentum that we had moving forward. But now it's all about, Paul, how do you come back from that? How do you have redemption this week? How do you restore yourselves back as a prominent program that's looking to take that next step?
Well, isn't that – I mean, you played the most important position in college and obviously in the NFL. You're going to – make mistakes, even sometimes when they're not your fault.
Right.
You throw a ball, it gets tipped, it's intercepted, and the announcer goes, "Well, you know, Campbell threw an interception." How are you able? And this speaks to the team, to not to turn one loss into two. I know that's a cliche, but as an athlete, you know that's very applicable, is it not?
Yeah, most definitely, because you got to think about it. As a football player, you know, even as a coach, you're going to lose some tough games, you're going to win some tough games. But what you can't do is let something bad become worse. And right. How you do that is you got to kind of stop, you got to stop the flood a little bit. And for Auburn football team, you know, they kind of heard a lot of noise this week about the loss from New Mexico State. And as a player, when you sit in that locker room, you lose the game that way, it eats at you even more. And that's why I say, like, sometimes when your back is against the wall, like it is in this game, no one's kind of giving us an opportunity to come out here against Bama this week, who has a lot to play for in the playoff system. But as a player, though, you got to show who you really are. This is the type of game to say, hey, last week wasn't us. You know, it was something that happened. We learned from it. And as a player, you quickly got to know how to adapt to the next page. You got to know how to put something behind you and move on. I think for this football team, that's another learning curve of maturing as a football team as they advance.
Finally, you played in some of the biggest games in college football, the Sugar Bowl. You played against the Cowboys for the Redskins and so many other epic showdowns. How do you describe, if somebody just dropped in from another country, what it's like when you walk out on that field, especially at Jordan-Hare Stadium in the Iron Bowl?
Yeah, Jordan-Hare is one of the stadiums that, you know, we always say this is a stadium where magic happens. I always tell everybody, anytime you play in rival games, like, you got to know the history. That's why I tell these guys, don't just put the uniform on, put the helmet on, go out and play. Like, learn the guys that came before you. Learn the history of the game. Know what it's about. Like, you can become legendary in a game like the Iron Bowl. And the thing about it, the reason it's so big here, you don't have any NFL teams that you're competing against in this state. It's either Alabama or it's Auburn. And those two teams right there kind of runs the program for the next 365 days of who can say they're on their top dog. But this game all comes down to heart. It comes down to pride. It comes down to commitment and just your will.
Are the hits different in this game?
The hits are different. Yeah, the hits are different. You know, I was watching that Egg Bowl last night, and there were some hits that they allowed to happen that could have been called. And I say, I wonder would they let Auburn and Alabama play this way on Saturday, where they let guys kind of get after each other and be, you know, kind of slow to throw the flag and understanding of the history of this game. This game is a hard fought, get in your face type of game. You know, it's not no we out here buddy buddy. No, we may be buddies later on in life, but for this day, it's all about I'm trying to beat you, you trying to beat me.
Jason Campbell, who knows a little bit about that, the first round pick to Washington, the player of the year in the SEC, played on an undefeated team and truly one of the greats in Auburn history, now part of the broadcast team. Jason, it is always such a pleasure to see you.
No, always good to see you too, Paul. Appreciate it.
Congratulations in advance on your newborn.
Hey, maybe you got some words of wisdom for me.
You're looking at the wrong man. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
Jordan Rogers will join us next. I don't think he has any words of wisdom either, but we'll ask him when he shows up.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, J-E-T-S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Yeah, let's go to today's Gridiron guest, brought to you by Johnsonville. You know who that is. It's Jordan Rogers joining us courtside here as we continue live in Auburn. So, Jordan, Auburn fans always believe they can win. Always have confidence. We just heard from Jason Campbell. What is their path to victory tomorrow?
It's slim, but there is a path. I mean, hey, I'm just being honest, right? I mean, but if you look back at the Georgia game, that was a 7-point game against the number one team in the country. I think it's fair to say Georgia's playing better right now. Maybe Auburn isn't playing as good.
Some people tell me they don't. I mean, that Georgia team. I mean, what was the what's the difference between that Georgia team and what the team we're going to see next week is?
Georgia?
The Georgia team that was here.
Oh, I just – the depth of the pieces that I think have developed since then. Back then it was Brock and it was Ladd. Everybody else that have developed since that point, I think they've gotten so much better defensively and offensively. But I bring up that game just to say, like, when you're in adversity on the road, like, you can start slow. And unfortunately, Alabama's 11 are better than Auburn's 11 at every position. So that's why I was thinking about this game this week, and I was like, Auburn's pretty good at basketball at this school, right? They need to play more basketball on Saturday. And here's what I mean by that. Like, you don't play 11-on-11. They need to make this a 5-on-5 game, a 3-on-3 game on the perimeter as much as possible. So split the defense in the run game, get things on the edge where if you miss a tackle or break a tackle, you get 5 or 6 yards, right? It's not that you're going to start scoring 60, 70-yard touchdowns. Screen plays, one-on-one matchups. Find ways to get Rivaldo Fairweather a one-on-one matchup. Right now, he's really the only guy that's winning consistently on the outside, and that is a mismatch for who Alabama's going to have. So the path is slim, and we know that. There's no secret. But there is a path, and I think depending on who shows up for Auburn and how they show up and the mentality that they have, we could get something weird happen for a half.
And I mean, I don't want to use 2 years ago as a point of reference, but I don't know why we wouldn't, because that was not a great Auburn team.
Totally. Not at all.
And it was a really good Alabama team offensively.
Right. The difference, though, I think, with this Alabama team is that this Alabama team has been overlooked. Yeah. They have a chip on their shoulder. I don't think that's been the case for most of the years with Alabama. They've been the front runner. They've been the one that have had to fight off complacency. Not this team. I think this team plays with a little bit more of an attitude. So I don't see that quite happening as much. But for Auburn, I will say this. Despite what happens, win or lose, I was a part of a team that had to have a turnaround, as Auburn's trying to do right now, a turnaround under Hugh Freeze. And the first step to that was seeing ourselves compete in games. So although there's usually no moral victories, if Auburn comes out and they keep this close and they compete, now Hugh can go to some of the recruits and go, hey, see, we were only about 10 points, you know, behind this Alabama team. Like, if we had you,
right,
you can push us over the level. So you can use that as a tool in recruiting. You can start to build some confidence and culture to get some momentum into next year.
So when you played, you would want to say, I'm all in. Now when you go to a player, he says, so you really need me? And they go, yes.
So, hey, what you got?
How much?
Yeah. That's the problem. But, hey, I mean, this is a program and a team and a school that can turn it around, right? I mean, Hugh has proven what he can do here. I think the talent is not what it needs to be. Everybody knows that, but there's deep pockets. Like, this is a program that could make the turn quickly next year if they kind of end this year with a little bit of momentum.
And I wonder if you're an Alabama player and you got that chip on your shoulder and you play the early game last week and you get back and you're sitting around and you get the same text that we all got about 6:30 last Saturday night. Hey, Auburn's behind.
Yeah. Because nobody was watching it. Sorry. You guys were.
I had to I had just gotten home, and I my wife had the remote control, which by design. And I said, would you mind if we put on the Auburn game? She said, what Auburn game? So I thought we got to it, and then she was in shock. I already knew the score. So if you're an Alabama player and you're sitting around, you go, we're playing those guys next week. I know that sounds crazy, but they are young guys.
Yeah, and so that actually could work out in Auburn's favor, right? Because then you get into that mentality. Like I said, this is a team that plays with a chip. But if they're overlooking a team that is capable
of
showing up.
Let's save the chip for Georgia.
Yeah, Auburn's capable of showing up and being much different than what we saw against New Mexico State. Let's be honest. That was horrible. Yeah. That was just embarrassing football. But they've shown that they're better than that. I mean, put up 48 points on Arkansas's defense. Arkansas's defense is not terrible. It's not the Arkansas defense we've seen the last couple of years. So they're capable of doing things on offense, of playing confidently, of breaking out in games. It's just who does show up. I don't think we'll know that until Saturday at 2:30 here.
In terms of their quarterback situation, they've got two. I don't know the health of the starter, but what do you know, having been here a couple hours and talking to people?
I don't know anything about the health, and if there's any indicator about last night, the Egg Bowl I did, I mean – we were kept in the dark, and you know, I don't mean kept in the dark,
but there were
injuries. Yeah, there was injuries for both quarterbacks, and we weren't sure to the extent. So this late in the season, everybody's banged up. So that's an easy thing to say. You're not sure how banged up, right? Is it going to affect you as a player? Like Will Rogers last night was banged up; it affected him. Jackson Dart was banged up; he was still able to play through. So it really depends. But I think they need to evaluate the quarterback room on who's going to be here next year. How can they help us? And also, what pieces might we need to add? What type of quarterback maybe do we need to add into a competition for next year? Because that's the reality of being at the end of the season and the portal window opening up here in a few short days.
Speaking of the Egg Bowl, and you know a lot more than I do because you were there, but I mean, there's a rumor flying around today that State is looking seriously at Jeff Lebby.
Uh-huh.
Somebody you know well.
Yeah.
Assuming that is true, and I don't really know. I'm just reporting what
I've heard that as well.
Okay. What do you know about him and how would he fit in?
I love the fit of Jeff Lebby. I think as a guy that not only first you want to check the box of having an elite offensive scheme, because I think at a place like Mississippi State, you're not always going to have the Jimmies and Joes, so the scheme also has to be able to win, and he has that. The scheme immediately would make them more of a contender, even more so than the air raid and more so than what we saw this year. His ability to see talent and develop talent, I've been around. Not often am I around a guy like Jeff who can communicate scheme, which helps develop quarterbacks, right? It's easy to tell someone what to do, but he's really good at telling a quarterback, here's how you do it. Okay. Here's what you need to see. So his ability to communicate and develop and teach, I think, is very underrated. I think it gets a pass because the scheme, you know, wins, right? So I think he'd be a great fit for that, and I think they need somebody like that, a guy that can develop, but a guy that has a scheme that can help them win right away.
And again, that's just there are other names out there, but he's a name that he's been in that state. He knows the deal.
It's a couple other names. I've been talking about it. I mean, nobody in the SEC, but like I think they should be taking a look at Jed Fish out in Arizona.
I like him.
I think they should be taking a look at Barry Odom, what he's doing at UNLV. I mean, has that completely turned around? He's proven that he can be a head coach in the SEC, be successful, be a coordinator in the SEC. But, you know, the Lebby, it makes a lot of sense, too, just on the surface. So I'm intrigued to see what direction they end up going.
We'll take a short break. Thank you, Jordan Rogers. We'll introduce you to some young student reporters. You would expect them to be young. Unless they went back to school in their 50s. We will take a short break. We're back in Auburn right after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
So there's football going on right now, and Sam Pittman being allowed to stay for another year is not ending this season well. Down 10-0 at the end of the first quarter. Missouri, we talked to Coach Drink the other day. They're off to a big-time bowl game. We're back here with our two student reporters from the Auburn Plaisemen, one of the truly legendary school outfits. I used to call them newspapers. I really don't know what they're called anymore. But we're saying hello to Jacob Waters and Grace Heim. Grace is from Enterprise and Jacob from Birmingham. Welcome to both of you.
Yes, sir, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
It's a delight. So let's talk a little bit, for starting with you, Grace, what your role is with the Plainsmen and how long you've been doing it.
So I started with the Plainsmen a little under a year ago in January of last year, and I am the current sports reporter. So I do a lot of game coverage, feature stories, things like that.
And you?
I'm the sports editor. This is my third year with the Plainsmen. I just basically edit every story that we have come in, get to cover football, basketball, all that good stuff.
So, Jacob, you've had quite a bit of change in your tenure at the Plainsmen. Where is this football program?
It's kind of in a confusing spot right now, I would say. It just seems like every year there's a little bit more turnover, but I think with Hugh Freeze here at Auburn now, I think it's finally going to start to level out, and Auburn's kind of trying to start to get its identity again and get back to the old Auburn a little bit.
Grace, Coach Freeze was here about an hour and a half ago, and he admitted it has been a long journey this year. He knew it would be difficult, and I think the easy blame, why not, is on the former administration, but it does seem to both of you that recruiting is going well.
Yes, and I think Hugh Freeze has done a great job of taking responsibility for its own team and not looking to the past and looking to the future, focusing on recruiting and understanding where his team's at. And there is a lot of good buzz. I think we're going to have a lot of good recruits here tomorrow. And Hugh Freeze has just done a great job turning it around that way and just talking and focusing more on the future with recruiting than the past.
What is he like, Jacob and Grace, to interact with? I mean, sometimes coaches, Bruce Pearl, I'm sure, he speaks for himself in terms of his interaction, but what's Coach Freeze like?
I would say it's mostly business first, but usually at the end of his press conferences or post-game availability, sometimes he likes to crack a few jokes or get on to the reporters for what they report on, but I'd say overall he's pretty strict, business as usual.
I'm always interested because I once did what you guys do, and last week I had the opportunity to visit my old campus newspaper when we were in Knoxville. I had lunch with the staff at the UT Daily Beacon, and the concerns of young journalists today are considerably different. As you're matriculating through college here, what are young journalists facing? What are the obstacles first that you have to overcome?
I think, from a standpoint of like sports, realizing that you have a seat at the table. I watched a great video recently about student journalists taking the first step and asking questions in press conference, because I think we tend to sit on the back row and listen and not understand that we deserve a seat at the table and asking questions. So for me, understanding that I can, you know, take those steps and ask those questions, because we tend to have a unique student perspective on sports and the things that we want to hear from coaches and the things that students on our campuses want to hear. So really being bold to ask those questions, because most of the time your coaches understand that you're a student journalist and they like want to answer your questions, and they're not going to call you out if you ask something silly.
No, that's a great point, because I asked questions once I got to my professional career, but I don't ever remember back as a college student daring to challenge the coach.
Yeah, I mean, I think like
called for their firing, but not ask a question.
like Grace said, I think it's, you know, we're trying to build up to get jobs after college too. So it's very important that we get that experience while we can in Auburn and realize that we're both in a really blessed spot with the Plainsmen to where we get the chance to do that and not take that for granted.
Well, I've always been just so impressed. You know, spent most of my career in Birmingham, and the journalists that this school produced out of that department. I mean, there were some legendary figures connected to Auburn. I think it was last year when we were here, I had a class come by, and I'm the professors, the students. This has always been one of the beacons of great credibility and prominence. I know that may have had a role in you coming here.
Yes, I joined the Plainsmen on a whim. I wanted writing experience, and I love sports. And to see where I started from and then where I've grown just as a writer and a journalist is amazing. And it's from being around peers who are so good at what they do. Jacob does a phenomenal job editing our stories and then providing feedback. And it's just been a great time to get to enjoy sports and be in the heart of it and get to practice those skills. And I've loved it. I'm so thankful for it. Sometimes I think I take for granted where it's going to take me and the opportunities it has given me. But the Plainsmen is a great organization to be a part of.
Jacob, just a couple of seconds left. What would you like to do when you get done here? You got a great opportunity to make a pitch to a lot of people.
My first choice would be I would love to be able to stay in Auburn and keep covering the university. But if that doesn't work out, I have experience covering high school athletics too, and I have a real passion for that. So maybe go back to Birmingham. I go somewhere in the area. I get to cover high school athletics there because I think those athletes deserve just as much.
You know, it's funny. We checked in our hotel a couple hours ago, and there were about 100 young football players, I think from Mary Montgomery. They were playing Phoenix City tonight in a state playoff game. And it was just so exciting in the few seconds we had because, you know, they were about to board the bus just to see that. And I still yearn for high school. I didn't cover it very long, but I admire both of you. Thank you very, very much. Jacob Waters and Grace Heim joining us. We are back with the second half of the show right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.